an oppression I felt whenever I ventured online, a sense that I was going to somehow make a mistake instead of simply offering an opinion or make a joke or criticize someone or something. This idea would have been unthinkable 10 years earlier, that an opinion could become something wrong. But in an infuriated, polarized society, people were blocked because of these opinions and unfollowed because they were perceived in ways that might be inaccurate. The fearful began to instantly see the entire humanity of an individual in a cheeky, offensive tweet and were outraged. People were attacked and unfriended for backing the wrong candidate or having the wrong opinion or for simply stating the wrong belief. It was as if no one could differentiate between a living person and a string of words hastily typed out on a black sapphire screen. The culture at large seemed to encourage discourse, but social media had become a trap, and what it really wanted to do was shut down the individual. What often activated my stress was that other people were always angry about everything, presenting themselves as enraged by opinions that I believed in and liked or thought were simply innocuous. My pushback against all of this forced me to confront a degraded fantasy of myself, an actor, as someone I never thought existed. And this in turn became a constant reminder of my failings. And what was worse, this anger could become addictive to the point where I just gave up and sat there exhausted, mute with stress. But ultimately, silence and submission were what the machine wanted. The idea of beginning a new novel started whispering to me sometime in the first weeks of 2013, while I was stuck on the I-10 in traffic merging into Hollywood, after I had just spent a week in Palm Springs with a friend I'd gone to college with in the 1980s and who was now losing her mind. She had broken down in front of me several times during those days in the house on Azure Court, before leaving earlier than expected to attend a Deepak Chopra retreat in San Diego, and yes, I know how this sounds. In Palm Springs, I was unexpectedly crippled with waves of anxiety that kept me in bed for hours staring at my phone, vague yet vast realizations about mortality that my friend's frailties had activated and encouraged, while also absurdly, furiously going through the last demented round of notes on a pilot I was writing for the CW network. Between the bouts of fear and the never-ending phone calls from the production company and the rewrites, the thought that I might never write another novel announced itself more loudly than it had in years, and my last novel had been completed in 2009. Why this idea asserted itself at this particular time, I can't tell you. The desire to write prose had kept pulsing faintly within me for years, but not within what I now saw as the fake enclave of the novel. In fact, I'd been wrestling away from the idea of the novel for more than a decade, as evident in the last two books I published. One was a mock memoir wrapped within a horror novel, and the other was a condensed autobiographical noir I pushed through painfully during a midlife crisis, a story about my first 3 years back in Los Angeles, futilely working on movies after I'd lived in New York for almost two decades. For those past 5 years, I had no desire to write a novel, and had convinced myself I didn't want to be constrained by a form that didn't interest me anymore, and yet I was willing to be constrained by the conventions of the 100-page screenplay that would never be made, and the 5-act TV pilot that would never be shot. I had reiterated all of this firmly in interviews I'd given over that period, during the world tour for that last novel I'd written, at press junkets in Spain, in Copenhagen, in Melbourne. But out in the desert, that feeling evaporated. And between the notes calls and the fear tamped down by Xanax and tequila as the mountains surrounding the house darkened beneath the late afternoon winter skies, the first paragraph of a novel began to take shape. It started with an image revolving around the bone-white Emser tile sign situated on a rooftop at the intersection of Santa Monica Boulevard and Holloway Drive, the view from behind the windshield of a stolen car, a violent accident, an unfolding mystery, something about the past, that last year in high school, intimations of a murder disguised as a suicide, somebody pretending to be somebody he wasn't, an actor. I've never forced a novel, something my agent and publishers and readers might think is part of an overall problem with me as a writer or as a brand, namely because I've gone 5 or 7 or 8 years between books at a time when most people still expect a brand name novelist to publish every other year like clockwork. This was what my publishing house had expected of me in the 1980s after my first novel was a success, and I still remember my shock at being told this. In the end, I never worked like that, and yet this didn't ever mean I wasn't writing. It meant only that I wrote in a way that simply worked best for me. I wasn't thinking about anyone else when I wrote. I wasn't aware of an audience waiting for me outside my apartment.